Well, good evening. I'm going to begin before my talk with one full disclosure. I was raised a Catholic. And when I went to my first Holy Confession, after having received Holy Communion, a sacrament in the church, I went into the confessional and I confessed to the priest that I coveted my neighbor's wife. The priest could barely contain his laughter, he told me later, a few years later when I was older. I thought it meant that I liked her cookies. Covet, you know, I just thought that's what it was about. So the idea of speaking tonight, I thought I should, in full disclosure, say, I find it interesting that I'm speaking before church tonight. But let me start. It has been a curious time with my computer. Like many of us at this time, the computer is my constant companion. I'm in a relationship with my computer. It is like we are a community. I thought we had created a reasonable relationship. Sometimes I did not, for a day or two, open her. Or is it a him? I just use the female pronoun for ease, as I find it hard naming her. On those days, I relied on my phone for emails and such. There appeared to be no jealousy from her or distrust. It was seen as a rest, a time to recharge, and then research better ways to reboot her magic. Other days, I spent long hours working with the responsibilities of my life, asking the keyboard to be my mouth, the formation of my thoughts through the tapping of the alphabet. We were a small community of intention. I had things to do, to say, to live, to be, and the computer was a means to share these. I valued her beyond belief. Oddly, she never tired of my friendship. She worked tirelessly to fulfill my mandates and found joy in my peculiar interests. For example, she loved my choices in music and especially became playful when I put the shuffle on. She had a whimsical sense of what I might like to hear at various times of the day. Often it was synchronistic. It was never dull. Like many relationships, things changed. I noticed a curious shift in loyalty. Now, I am a loyal friend, and it takes a tremendous problem to challenge that faithfulness. I accept that I may carry fidelity to a fault, forgive too often. Well, perhaps. At this point, I am near out of forgiveness for my friend, the computer. Is this the way to treat a member of my community? In reflection, I know that as a relational being, I shamelessly anthropomorphize my computer. I find relationships of the most important of all the aspects of my life. In fact, in the old days, there was a paperclip as part of an old Word program. Do you remember the paperclip? I remained in relationship with that paperclip as long as it was on the screen. In thinking about my upset with the computer, I began to wonder about fidelity. What is it? To what am I faithful? How did I come to, or how did I even learn to live fidelity? Am I living as a faithful person? Most of my life, I've been an activist. When I was 12, I was registering citizens to vote in Southern California communities. At that time, those who were not white were often discouraged from suffrage. For many years before, it was nearly impossible for African Americans to buy property. Without property, it was harder to register to vote. There was a state proposition to stop African American and Hispanic citizens from buying homes in my neighborhood. I lived in Burbank. I lived two streets over from Warner Brothers and half a mile from Disney Studios. It was tricky. The proposition was very naughty. Yes meant you believed that it's okay not to sell homes to people who were Hispanic or African American. No meant that it was to equity if you voted no. So it was a counterintuitive ploy. I leafleted communities to defeat this biased initiative. Not too many years later, I was an anti-war activist and I sought an end to the Vietnam War. I was involved in street performance art. I was known as Lady Bird Johnson in my theater troupe, as I would throw money out in support of the war to the gatherings we amassed on the streets of Los Angeles. My husband believes we must defeat those commies, I would sing out. We'll pay you all to joy, and I would throw money out. In each of these examples, I was part of a movement, but I was not part of a community. I did not feel that sense of being known, valued for who I was, only for the work I did. I didn't really know what community was then. Later in my life, after moving to Gaspereau, I met community for the first time. The community school was the draw: suppers, neighbors who knew when you were home, baseball and soccer, football in the snow at Christmas, and sledding all down at the school. But it was one summer when I recognized what I had. It was his fault, if a six-year-old can be blamed. One apple blossom weekend, a car hit my youngest son. He was six years old. Now an adult with a beautiful partner and daughter, he is fully recovered. Have no fear. However, at that time, we spent 10 days in the IWK, and we had months of recovery. His classmates wrote letters and came and visited. Friends picked up my older sons and cared for them, and food arrived in the fridge. But one expects friends to do these things, doesn't one? But it was a neighbor I did not know who came and gathered up all the clothes in my house, took them home, washed them, and returned them fully folded and ready to go for the next day. That's when I figured out what community meant. This awareness took me in many directions, but most recently into a 15-year commitment with another theater collective, the Women of Wolfville. Here, community work looks like performance art that raises money for charities. Charities and initiatives that support women and children, both locally and nationally, and as well internationally. WOW has become a key place of learning about how to evolve community. We learn to be honest in seeking a quality performance while supporting the members of the troupe to reach down, challenge their fears, and become the change. Much too often, our thoughts and ideals fail to translate themselves into actual effective deeds and habits in our world. WOW challenges that. WOW challenges intention into action. People who do not know each other are called to the learning of lines, dances, and songs together in a multicultural, multi-age group. We not only accept sharing time and convictions, we commit to supporting each other to grow through our fear and patterns of ease. We have to rehearse, wear costumes that do not show off our best sides, and act, even in parts that are not comfortable for us. And we honestly critique and suggest change to each other. For most of us, telling others things that can be improved is difficult. One of the biggest fears we have is the fear of conflict. Most of us resist stepping out of our comfort zones. We are perhaps under the illusion that thinking good thoughts is sufficient. Perhaps we lack the will to bring our habits and actions into congruence with our ideals. Or perhaps we fall prey to our fears and past experiences of hurt, believing others will not care about us, that change is bad for us, and thus we lose courage and do not bring our ideals into the earthly realm. In an attitude of forgiveness, I think our inability to step up into our fear and change may be because we may have not had community experiences that have proven to us that while challenging us to be better, the community of life is loving and eminently more fulfilling than hiding in the shadows of our fears. We all have fallback behaviors, challenging our comforts through acts of bravery in which we are bigger than we have ever been, requires belief in ourselves and in the world. Learning to trust that someone will be in your corner and have your back, or to believe that, as John Hyatt wrote in his song, Have a Little Faith in Me, I will catch you if you fall. Have a little faith in me. Acts of community are acts of fidelity to the well-being of us all. It is more than laundry or a meal. It is being there, acting as a good neighbor, even in the face of differences of opinion, mistakes, or hurt, and catching each other and then offering a hand up. Well, the loss of faith in my computer's faithfulness remains a problem. I have felt unseen and betrayed. What happens is when I write my name Linda, it changes my name to Allison over and over again. Hi, this is Linda Allison. Before I can deal with it, I cannot seem to affect change to this behavior and try as I might to circumvent it, to fool the computer like little small case letters all closely squished together. It figured it out. They become Allison. She remains steadfast. Steadfast in my name turns to Allison over and over again. Well, I'm learning to forgive her, to reach into my soul and learn to love Allison. Right now, for me, this is a soulful act of community. John O'Donohue writes, may the light of your soul guide you. May the light of your soul bless the work you do with the secret love and warmth of your heart. May the sacredness of your work bring healing, light, and renewal to those you work with and to those with whom you see and receive your work. Thank you. And thank you, Tim. Allison Wheeldon.